The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Welcome to the All 32 Picks and IPAs, week 11 of the NFL season, and we're going to be talking some football, we're going to be talking some beer, and have a beer review this week to introduce our beer. Well, first, before we get to that, I think we have to introduce our winner among the three of us last week, Broncos fan Jared Tim.
Yes. Gentlemen, how's it going?
I had better weeks.
Well, I think we've all had better weeks. Yeah. Both of our teams lost. I actually feel like I'm donning Seahawks apparel today because I just have a sweatshirt that's the same color as your guys's, mm-hmm. and it kind of makes me want to vomit.
Welcome
a little
to
bit,
the club.
I'll deal with it.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, we're all wearing blue hoodies as we record this. I'm glad we all called and decided to coordinate this week. That's
great. We're not on the air, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And my co-host from the Seahawkers podcast and introducing the beer that we're drinking this evening, Adam Emmert.
Man, I'm going to be drinking a lot of this beer because I only got five picks right last week. I don't know how, I mean, wow.
I think that was average.
Yeah, I hope it was because, good God, it was a bloodbath last week. And so to help kill the pain, we are drinking the Sierra Nevada Nooner Pilsner. I like it. We'll just say that. But it's getting harder to find beers that we have not reviewed at the local store close to me. So I might have to start planning ahead of time. And
you know, we're only like 25 shows into this. We have to keep it going. There's more beer than 25 beers out there.
Oh hell yeah, we'll get there. Trust me.
We're gonna have to expand a little bit. All these breweries have more than one popular beer that we have access to, so we're just gonna have to dig a little deeper.
Yep, that's true.
And we'll take suggestions too.
Yeah, I like your style this week, Brandon. You're kind of sitting down on the floor, kicking back.
Hey.
Laid back, kicked back, minding your business.
You know, when you haven't had much luck in picks, standing up or sitting down, you know, in a chair, you have to find a way to change it up to make things different.
I thought maybe you had like a back injury or something. You know, like I didn't know.
Hey, if I do as poorly again this week, next week I will be doing this podcast while napping.
I have.
Which will be your best insight yet.
It probably will.
I have.
What's your sleeper pick for the week, Brandon?
That would be me.
So I have 1,070, Jared. That's where I'm at right now.
Ooh, I'm 100 ahead of you.
Okay.
Yes. Oh,
in range.
I'm only 100 behind you, Adam.
So you're way behind.
So I'm 200 ahead of you. That's good news. Yeah. Good news.
All right. Well, I like being.
That's only two. If you were to take 2 weeks off, I could catch up to you.
You know what is really
I think
great?
I did last week.
What is really great is I am undefeated in Seahawks picks.
Yeah, so we were talking to one of the listeners about that, Summer Bow. I was talking to her on the Google Hangout last night.
I kind of met Summer when we were in Arkansas, a little bit over, you know, you guys
over the
Google Hangout.
Yeah, we were doing because she's one of the patrons.
How much does she hate me?
She said that she's going to punch you in the neck.
No, she said that Jared deserves to be punched in the neck.
Oh, she's not going to do it herself.
Well, she wanted to.
Oh, well, my neck is pretty strong, so I could take it. I mean, yeah, if she wants to do it, I would take that.
It's Jared strong?
Yeah.
Was it the neck or the throat? I think maybe it was the throat.
Not so good. Nobody's throat is strong.
No.
I'm not throat strong because I'm not a prostitute, you know? I'm like, sorry. I'm sorry. Over the line.
No,
I know.
No, that was right up to
okay,
it. Like
maybe
it.
We should just get on with this, huh?
Yeah. Hey. So Thursday night game, AFC East matchup. My beloved Buffalo Bills on the road to take on the New York. Oh, no, wait. That was last week.
This is the week 11 show, Adam.
I know. I went a week back to see how bad my picks were, so I could tell you. All right, so AFC South matchup, and this is a toilet bowl of the week. Tennessee Titans 2-7 go on the road to face Blake Bortles in the Jacksonville Jaguars, who screwed me out of a pick last week. Brandon, ref spot for the Jaguars this week too?
Hey, if that's what it takes to get a win for the Jaguars, they're going to make it happen. It made me believe that the Ravens have lost a game in just about every way possible this season. Every single week, the Ravens find a way to lose, and this week it's because the Jaguars apparently paid the refs and got away with a call at the end of the game. What was it, a false start? Or
a not called false start, yes.
Ooh.
Jaguars get the win, which, you know, not great for my picks, but yeah, really. When it comes
down
to
kicker,
it, doesn't matter.
And the kicker got to kick the game winner twice. He missed the first time. Like, that's how my luck went in the picks this last week. Yeah.
The Ravens get no breaks this year. And but the Jaguars playing the Titans. The Titans are a team that doesn't get a whole lot of breaks either. The interesting thing about this game, I thought it would be a whole lot closer. People down on the Titans, only 25% going with them. I'm going with the home team, the Jaguars, on a short week.
You know, I'm with you there. I didn't know that the consensus picks were going to be that one-sided. But, you know, I kind of thought I was going out on a limb pick in Jacksonville here, but I think they're going to ride that luck out, and I'm taking them at home.
Yeah, I just feel like Jacksonville. I mean, the Titans just aren't good. I mean, that's really what it is. The Washington team, headed by Captain Kirk, on the road to face Cam Superman Panthers. So, Jared, you saw Captain Kirk end Rob Ryan's career last week.
Which somebody had to.
Is he ending anybody's career this week?
He's not, because Carolina actually has a defense that will actually show up. And, you know, I do not believe that Carolina is going to go undefeated. I think that they are, at this point, the best team in the NFC. I mean, but I don't think that their undefeatedness is going to end this week by Washington. And especially at home. I really do believe in this Carolina Panthers team. I think they're a team that can go pretty deep into the playoff. I think they're going to make an NFC Championship appearance. And I think they have too high of a caliber of team for Washington to compete with. I'm going Carolina at home.
Yeah, as exciting as it was to see Washington just throw it all over the field against the Saints, that's not going to happen against the Panthers. This defense is so much better than that New Orleans defense. And yeah, Cam Newton, man, you just can't count that guy out this week. You don't want to pick against him. And as much as I did pick against him last week, with trying to pick the right undefeated team to lose, which there was an undefeated team that went down. I just picked against the wrong one. Not picking against the Panthers this week. Going with Carolina. And what's the user consensus on this? 93%. Only 7% with Washington.
I'm going Panthers as well. Jared, you said it perfect. I mean, they have a defense.
Well,
and the Saints, well, they don't.
So I have a question for you guys. You guys are big NFC guys. You obviously follow this, and you've played Carolina, and these games against you guys and Carolina have been awesome. To be honest with you, in the last 3 years, the games between you and the Panthers have just been incredible games. Do you guys think Cam Newton is clutch, or is maybe not clutch, or have we seen enough of him in clutch time to know whether he is one way or the other?
He goes back and forth, right? I mean, he has clutch moments, and then he has other times where he's not. And it really kind of depends on the defense that he's going against. And this year, our defense just isn't handling things in the clutch moments. And you saw him come back on the Seahawks defense. So I think it just depends on what kind of defense that he's going up against.
I think he's grown a little bit into his clutchiness. Like, I think he's gotten a little better as he's matured as a leader. Because I think that's the big difference you see in his game this year, is he really has matured as a leader. That team really views him that way, rather than, you know, the guy that was sulking on the sidelines and things like that in previous years. And yeah, we've seen him do some boneheaded things at the end of games previous in his career, but really hasn't showed up at all this year. So I think he's maybe turned that corner a little bit.
Well, Cam's so confident now that there's moms in Tennessee that pick up on that confidence, and and it's so traumatizing to 4-year-old girls that they have to write hate mail to the NFL and the Panthers.
What is this? What is
you
this
didn't
about?
See this? There was some mom that took her game, her 4-year-old daughter, to a game at in Tennessee. And she said that she had to divert her attention from Cam Newton because the way he was puffing his chest out and strutting on the field, that she was diverting her attention to the cheerleaders and the Tennessee mascot.
Oh, because that's better.
Look, this is a game of gladiators. These guys are going to be pumped up. They're going to do that kind of stuff. Sorry, Mom. Don't take your child to an NFL game.
Honey, don't watch the fully clothed man just dance around a little bit. Watch the scantily clad cheerleaders and their pom-poms.
Yeah, and if Cam Newton strutting around was the worst thing that her four-year-old saw while at an NFL game, that's
good for her.
She's doing pretty well.
Yeah. Winning.
That's
at
a
that
PG
point.
Game at that point.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That confirms like what I had kind of thought about Cam Newton, because like, he's slowly progressed in the NFL. It's not been a quick change, but it's kind of been slow in a progression. So that's kind of what I thought about that. I just want to know your guys' perspective on it.
Yeah. It's an interesting topic. St. Louis Rams 4-5 on the road taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Brandon, you said the Baltimore Ravens find a way to lose in a new way each and every week. Have they run out of ways to lose? I mean, is it possible for them to like finally pull it together?
No.
Against a Nick Foles-less, Foles-less.
So who are they starting? Who is behind? It's Case Keenum.
Case Keenum. And no, they haven't run out of ways to lose. In fact, I'm picking against them this week because, you know, Adam, we have a pretty good run of a reverse jinx going against the Rams by picking them and then having them lose. And as bad as my picks are, I'm willing to let that ride and also go with the user consensus of 73%. Plus, I kind of do feel like the Ravens, even at home, they can find a way to lose this game. You know, maybe it'll be a tie game and Flacco will be up near the goal line. And for some reason, the... you know, the St. Louis fans will travel really well and it'll just be so noisy and Flacco will forget to go silent and they'll just hike the ball over his head for a safety.
I think St. Louis's front seven is going to get the Flacco.
Nothing.
I think they're going to run the ball.
Nothing, Jared. No response to that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But
probably should have gone silent there.
Probably.
Dude, I told you we should have. Should have gone silent.
Am I not allowed to gloss over things?
Nope.
Am I not allowed to do that?
Not glossing.
Come on, you guys do that all the time to me.
Yeah, no, but no, we're not. We're not doing.
I'm not allowed one.
Not one.
All right.
Nope.
Well,
not this week.
Silence says that St. Louis's front seven is going to get the Flacco, and they're going to run the ball all over Baltimore's defense. I'm taking St. Louis on the road.
So. I think Baltimore's biggest weakness is their secondary and covering the passing game. And really, the Rams haven't been able to throw the ball worth a dang all year. I don't think Case Keenum solves that problem at all in any way, shape, or form. But
he can come in and give you a game or two, though.
Maybe.
He's a gamer.
He's a gamer. But the weird thing is that Baltimore's defense is actually 10th against the run. So I think this is actually a good matchup for them. And their weakness has been kind of just giving up points when they do let guys get down there. They're 26th in the league giving up points. But the Rams are 31st in the league in scoring points. Like, they can't score at 18.4 points per game. I think this is a matchup that sets up pretty well for the Ravens, making it fairly even. And they're at home, and it's this bizarro NFL. I'm picking the Ravens, and sure, lock it up or don't.
What happened to our streak of reverse jinxes against the Rams, Adam? What's going on
Adam
here?
Adam doesn't care.
I think it may have been reverse jinxing the Seahawks at the same time, man. I don't know. Like,
this was kind of a hard game to pick, though. Because, I mean, this St. Louis team continues to be this team year after year where you don't really know what they're going to do. Week
8-8. You know they're going to finish 8-8.
Yeah.
It's an early game on the East Coast. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. All right, so.
Well, they kind of are pretty close to there, though.
Yeah,
they're not
I don't.
Very far
the Rams
away.
Are like in the middle of the country, dude. I don't think that plane to Baltimore is going to bother them.
It's not like they're flying from California.
It's such a long trip. all right. Dallas Cowboys, 2-7, losers of seven straight. I don't know if you guys heard the little rant one of their radio personalities had against Jerry Jones this week, but it was priceless. Basically, just talking about how he's ruined this entire team. But they go on the road, bringing Tony Romo back against Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins. Jared, I know you're a big Finns honk, so you're probably taking them, huh?
Well, the thing is Romo hasn't played a lot of football in recent weeks, obviously, because he's been hurt. And the Cowboys have forgotten how to win entirely. They cannot figure it out. And so a rusty Tony Romo with the same Cowboys team, I'm thinking Miami at home barely squeaks one out against them. This was a hard pick. And really, Tony Romo being back, I wanted to pick him. But if Dez Bryant isn't completely healthy, which he's not. I'm still going with Miami at home, just barely. I think they win by like 1, 2, or 3 points.
Brandon?
I had picked the Dolphins until I heard that Tony Romo gave the speech for Major League that they just have to win every last one of them to finish off the season. And when I heard that, I switched my pick over to Dallas. Only 40% going with the Cowboys, but on the strength of the Major League speech, I think that gives the Cowboys just the edge they need to eke one out over the Miami Dolphins in Miami.
Chalk one up for Big Game Tony. He's coming back with the Cowboys. And they, you can't, it's hard to lose 8 in a row. It's just hard to do. It's just hard to do.
It is
and this
hard.
Dolphins team, I think the newness of Dan Campbell has worn off and that rah-rah stuff. It just only goes
kinda
so
like
far.
Kind of like Pete Carroll in Seattle?
No, that
the
lasted.
Rah-rah's gone.
That lasted years, not just two games like Dan Campbell. Yeah, but yeah, and it's a different rah-rah with Pete. It's just like rah-rah happy, where Dan Campbell's like, rah-rah, I'll kill you if you don't play well. So
yeah, like Jim Harbaugh, rah-rah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a bad rah-rah.
Yeah, it's a bad rah-rah. So Cowboys on the road for me.
You know, it's funny with this pick, Brandon. Like, I heard that story too, and I was going to go with Dallas, but the fact that he was quoting a comedy movie made me realize that this is going to be another comedy event for the Cowboys, and they're going to lose because that's all their season is right now. I mean, is that really going to jack them up or just make them laugh?
I don't
know.
Yes.
Both. Laughter is not how you win in the NFL.
But it's the best medicine, Jared, and they need some medicine for losing. So.
I don't think it works.
I still want the Cowboys to lose as long as Greg Hardy's on the team.
Well, yeah, I'm with
that's
you there.
But I like... That's another reason I'm picking him.
I've turned a corner on Romo. At first, I was kind of down on him, but yeah. he's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league right now.
I've liked Romo for the past two seasons, to be honest with you. I think he's tougher than most people give him credit for, and I like him as a quarterback.
Yeah. I saw one of his NFL sound effects where he was mic'd up, and it was hysterical.
When he broke his collarbone, he wasn't concerned about that. He was concerned of whether he completed the pass.
Yep.
That was it.
Yeah, he's tough as nails, funny guy. I like Romo. All right. I wish you just play for a different team.
There you go.
All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 4-5 on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles 4-5. And thanks a lot, Sanchez, for throwing that ghastly pick in the end zone to screw my picks there too. I look down at the phone while we're in the middle. The Eagles are up 16-0. I'm like, cha-ching. And yeah, nope.
Came
nope.
back my side.
Yeah, sure did. Because that's what was needed that week. Brandon, You're Boomer Sooner, not a quarterback there. I mean, no. you're rolling with the Sanchez?
I can't pick a quarterback to roll with in this game. Are there any guys on defense that maybe played for Oklahoma on either of these teams? Oh, that's right. Gerald McCoy on the defensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right. That gives me the incentive to go Tampa. Although I do like, this is a coin flip game, man. The Eagles at home versus the Bucs that actually seem like they have kind of been playing well here and there. I don't know if I like them on the road. Only 27% of users do, but yeah, since Sanchez is in a quarterback and my Boomer Sooner quarterback is out, got to go with McCoy on the defensive side.
You know, I'm going Philadelphia in this game because you know, Tampa Bay has actually got a decent defense. They're sixth against the rush. They're seventh in yards allowed. Mm-hmm. So they have some statistics that would make you think that they could beat Philly. But I think on the offensive side of the ball, they have enough inexperience to not win this kind of a road game. And when you look at Philly, where they've been all year long, they are literally middle of the pack. Like, basically, out of 32 teams, they are 16th on average in everything. And so, I don't know. And I think Sanchez can come in and play one or two good games. So I'm going Philly at home.
Yeah, so I have a strong conviction about this game. And my strong conviction is I'm not picking it. Because I have no
catfish
clue. I'm going with the Bucks. I really have zero reason for it. I really
this
do.
This is one of the harder games.
Because I honestly have no
catfish
clue. This could go either way for me, and I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I don't think it's going to go tie, so it's smart of you to pick one way or the other, Adam. At least you determined that much.
Yeah, I actually went coin flip.
There's
really
a 50-50 chance you could gain a pick here.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'll go for it. All right. So that was a Brockward transition. So speaking of which, we're going with the 7-2 Denver Broncos coming off their second consecutive loss. And Peyton Manning looking, well, like he's a corpse, taking on the suddenly hot Chicago Bears with Jay Cutler on fire, Brandon. This is a little tougher game than it originally appeared on the schedule earlier in the season.
You know, speaking of quarterbacks that I've kind of done a 180 on, Jay Cutler, does he seem just like a different guy this year, or is it just me? Because he doesn't seem like the pouty, whiny Jay Cutler that I remember in the past.
It's
just
Adam Gase, man. Adam Gase is a really good quarterbacks coach, and I think it does have a lot to do with him. However, it's only a matter of time before he becomes unraveled again.
Yeah, well, they certainly have. They haven't missed Matt Forte with him going down. They have a back in the backfield.
Langford.
Yeah, doing well for the Bears. I'm going to go Bears on this, guys. I know Jared's not going to like it, but, you know, what's better than the Broncos losing two in a row? And that's losing three in a row. And if they're going to get to 2009 Denver Broncos status, now's the time to get there.
Yeah, this is how you start doing it.
That's how you start doing it. 38% with the Bears.
Wow, that's higher than I would have expected.
Wow. Okay. You know, Brandon, I can't say I blame you for going with the Bears. I mean, we have lost two in a row. And to be honest with you, never in my entire fandom have I been happier to lose two games in a row because it got Peyton Manning benched. Adam, you say he's a corpse, man. He was killing us. I mean, we had five turnovers in that game. Granted, one of them was Brock's. But when you start your first three possessions with three and outs and then continue to throw four interceptions, where does that leave your number one defense? In a hole the entire game. The majority of that first half, we did not have one single snap in Chiefs territory. And now, you saw Brock. Well, I mean, we don't exactly know what we're going to get out of him, but he played really well. We still have the number one D in pretty much every category when it comes to... I mean, I don't think the Bears' offensive line can hold up against our pass rush. The problem in the last couple weeks is our offense hasn't done enough to keep them off the field and keep them energized. In this game, it's going to be a different story. I mean, I had somebody ask me, well, is your heart broken? What are you going to do without Peyton Manning? I was like, we're going to sustain a drive. We might actually do that now.
Run a bootleg or two.
We might do all of that.
You have a quarterback that actually get under center and play from under center.
You have a quarterback that can get under center. And the most promising thing that I saw was in his second drive, He came close to throwing that pick in the first one, but that second drive we started from the 1 yard line. He was in his own end zone, went through every progression, and made a very accurate throw to Owen Daniels, and then continued with two nice drives after that. So, I mean, you guys know what the excitement is like when you have your franchise quarterback, you're starting him, everything's going well, and I'm excited to see what Brock can do, and I'm going Broncos all the way because I think that he can sustain drives long enough to keep our defense with their wind. And so I think we're going to win this game, and I think we're going to win it convincingly. I don't think we're going to win it by more than one score, but I think we will actually dominate the defensive side of the ball and actually move the ball on offense.
All right, Jared with the homer pick. What do you got, Adam?
Well, go Braves.
Surprise.
I'm going with go Braves because he's a Flathead High School alum, man. Like,
go Montana.
It's tough to root against him, but I will say a few things. Now, number one, those four picks that Peyton had, that should have been six.
It should have been six.
I mean, he threw. I mean, it was that bad. I mean, he couldn't do anything, and that was one of the weirdest games I'd ever watched in my life. In the sense of, they stopped the game. Peyton breaks his record. He's the all timer, and he's out there just stinking up the joint worse than. That might be the worst quarterbacking performance of the season
in
the NFL.
And he hated stopping the game for that. He hated that.
Oh, but yeah.
The refs went up to him and made him do
that. Of course. And, of course, the NFL was going to do that. But it was just, that was such a weird moment.
Yeah.
It was awkward.
Because you could see that he was just done. I mean, when you're listed with three or four injuries on the injury report and you need to be 100% healthy to get anything behind the ball, you're going to look like that. And yeah. I watched Brock come in, like you said, lead a couple really good drives, and really his touchdown pass towards the end of the game, that was Russell Wilson-esque, you know, shaking off a tackler, doing
a
spin, and like, I'm impressed.
He's evasive for his size.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Brandon, I am disappointed with you picking against Kalispell.
Hey, I'm one of us has to make the non-homer pick, and it's going to be me this week.
Okay, all right, well, I'm picking the Broncos. I just...
Hey, I'll be rooting for Brock.
Yeah,
no, Jay
Cutler.
No mistake.
Jay Cutler has played a lot better as of late, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Langford seems like a nice pickup in to really plug into that offense. A lot of people are sold on the Bears D, thinking that they've improved. I don't buy it, and I think that's going to be the difference in the end of the game. All right, so Oakland Raiders, David Carr. Nope, it's Derek Carr. Which car is it? Derek Carr. On the road against the 2-7 Lions. Lions, man, they're on a roll.
Yeah.
Call them butter.
Yeah.
Call them butter because they're on a roll.
Who are the 2% that rolled with the Lions this last week and actually got the win?
Miss Cleo and Stafford's mom.
That had to be it because no one could have. And the Lions did everything they could to lose that game. You know, whether it was missing extra points, whether it was giving up the onside kick at the end of the game, they did everything they could to lose that game, and the Packers still couldn't pull it out. That was the most shocking thing of all. So, you know, because of the fact that, yeah, they get the high of winning for the first time in 24, 25 years in Green Bay. Well, congratulations. Now you get to go back home and lose to the Raiders in front of your home crowd. 78% of users agree with me there.
All right. You know, I actually watched, I had the Oakland Vikings game on also while I was watching the Broncos game, and that was a really good game in the first half. But you could tell that Oakland's defense just wasn't up to par with the Vikings. The Vikings are clearly the better team. You know, we'd had the discussion over which quarterback was better, Carr or Bridgewater at the point. I don't think we really know, but I think Carr's got a lot of upside, and I think he beats Detroit. I think they're going to come off of that loss, and I think there's going to be a real fuel in that fire. And granted, their defense isn't great, but against Detroit, I don't think you really need a great defense at this point.
Well, the Raiders' biggest weakness on defense is pass defense, and that is the one thing Detroit does well. So this is a sneakier game than I think it appears.
I think it'll be close.
On paper, yeah. I think it's going to be close, so... I'm going with the Raiders here, but man, I wouldn't be surprised to watch the Lions win this one. I don't have an overwhelming sense that
if you're
are
the Lions and you can go on the road and pick up a win in Green Bay, why can't you beat any team?
Well, the one thing that Oakland does have going way more than Green Bay, which is why I actually feel really good about this pick, is that Oakland can run the ball.
Yeah. No, that's
and
a good
Detroit
point.
Detroit cannot stop the run. And if Oakland is running the ball, then Stafford won't even have the ball in his hands. So that's the mismatch here, and that's why I think Oakland is a lock on this game.
Cool. All right. Well, let's talk about winners and losers this last week, Brandon. Loser right here. This guy. Bad week. And on that note, I'm going to grab beer while you start going through this, Brandon.
And there were quite a few of us who were losers this last week, but... Six people came out on top, and actually it's probably only five because one of those six people picked against the Seahawks, and that was the co-host here, Jared Tim. But
undefeated
I do have to
in
give,
my picks against the Hawks.
Yeah, well, I do have to call out both Euphorbia and London Calling, who were the two users in the top that had 90 points that actually picked the Chiefs to beat the Broncos.
Oh, wow.
So, there you go. Although
I don't like them.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you might enjoy hearing that. Other folks finishing in the top six, Mr. Bomar up on top, Frederick Dahlberg, 86, Desert Fox, 321. Those are your top six. So, hey, if you were among those users, email gohawks@seahawkerspodcast.com and claim your prize. Overall,
what is the prize, Brandon?
Oh,
what is the prize?
We got some bracelets that Rochelle Montanona made up for us, and we got stickers. So that's what I've been sending out to the weekly prize winners, and then of course we have quarterly prize winners who they get a little extra something special. So yeah, and Bald Eagles and Beer still atop our Pick'em League with 1,220 points. Bull Buster right behind him at 1,210. And then we got three users at 1190, HawksMama0902, Wally Winner, and Natha. So there you go.
Just so Bald Eagles and Beers knows, I'm only 50 points behind. I am coming up on you fast. As the weeks go on, I am right on your heels, man.
See, because it really feels like you just peaked. Like, and it's
no
all
way.
Downhill from here for
I've
you.
I've been getting better and better.
Have you?
In the Patron League, we have... the Lost Alaskan up on top with 1170, wow. And And yeah, the Blue Wave is on a roll right behind at 1160. And in the Patron League, we had somebody clearly on top, and that was Ross Wilberding. So congratulations to Ross. 80 points, finished better than everybody else in the Patron-only league, which you can join at patreon.com/Seahawkers podcast.
You bet. Well, cool. Let's move on here to the Andrew Luckless Colts taking on the Atlanta Falcons in the ATL, Jared. Falcons have been... They've got a case of the struggles.
They've got a big case of the struggles, and I am all in on Matt Hasselbeck. I picked against him last time he played, and I will regret that for the rest of this year. I am all in on Fragileback, and the Colts have been a good team for weeks now. I mean, we went over last week how close they were to beating all these good teams, and then they finally beat us, and I think they've gotten over that hump. And I think actually Matt Hasselbeck makes them slightly better team because they won't turn the ball over as much. I'm definitely taking them in Atlanta.
Yeah, I have the Colts down too. Now, user consensus actually with the Falcons at 80%. Maybe they didn't watch the Falcons lose to the 49ers in San Francisco last week. And which, yeah, if you can lose to San Fran at this point and Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, why can't you lose to a 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck at home? I like the Colts. I don't want to see Charlie Whitehurst in the game for the Colts now that he's holding the clipboard for Indianapolis. I want to see Matt Hasselbeck go all the way this year and take the Colts to the playoffs.
This is a head and a heart pick because my heart wants to pick Matthew so bad. Like I want to roll with Matthew big time in this game. And really, the Colts secondary has gotten a lot better as they've gotten healthy. And I think that's been a big part of a little bit of an improvement for them. They are fighting for their playoff lives, too. The thing is, the Falcons are a better team all the way around.
The thing is, though, Adam, if you want head versus heart in this game, look at the Falcons' run game. What happened? They were running the ball, and that was a big part of why... Matt Ryan was having a lot of success. Why they were 6-0, or why they were 4-0 initially, and now at 6-3, they've lost games because they've gotten away from running the ball
because they started playing good run defenses.
Yeah, there's a bit of that too. I wanted to pick the Falcons so it wasn't a boring podcast, but I'm going Colts. Like
I didn't struggle with this pick one bit. I saw this matchup, I was like, Colts are going to beat the crap out of the
Falcons.
Well,
I'm not going to lie, Jared. When I first looked at it, I was just like, Colts bunk.
Yeah,
like it was.
I didn't struggle with
easy.
This one at all, man.
Yeah. All right, New York Football Jets. They'll be out of their color rush uniforms this week. so all you colorblind folks, congratulations. Taking on J.J. Texan and the Watts, Brandon. Sounds like Hoyer is still in concussion protocol. They've picked up Brandon Whedon off the scrap heap. What do you think here?
Whoa, Adam. Whoa. Hey, we talked about this before this podcast started. You will address my Houston Texans properly as the
right.
first place Houston Texans
right.
in the AFC South.
You're right. I'm sorry. I forgot that I didn't introduce that correctly. Your first place, Houston Texans, Brandon, hosting the New York Jets at home. They're going to lay the smack down on the beard in his bad thumb ligament, right?
Heck yes. That's why I'm picking the Texans, along with 29% of users. J.J. Texan and the Watts, they are there. You know, you see J.J. Watt dropping bombs like he did on the Red Rifle by calling him a BB gun. Now's the time. He's getting in quarterback's heads.
I like what J.J. Watt said about Dalton, however.
It was kind of corny.
Brandon Whedon's not going to play. T.J. Yates is probably going to throw three interceptions. Jets are winning this game on the road. No contest.
Yeah, I mean, that Jets defense is just way too good for this Texans team. I mean, really what the Jets struggled with last week against the Bills was the run game, and the Texans can't run the ball. Well, then they can't throw it either. So I when you can't do either of the two things that are essential to offensive football, I like the Jets, even with a banged up Brandon Marshall. All right. Suddenly, the red hot Kansas City Chiefs on
a
roll.
Guys, I can't go against the Texans after they're in first place now. You have to understand this. I got away.
No, I get it.
I got away from them, and now I have to be back on board.
You are the worst bandwagon fan ever.
I know.
The second they're back in first place. Oh, I'm back. I'm back.
No, those are the best kind of bandwagon fans, Adam.
The ones that are actually bandwagon?
Right.
So, like, you wear your label properly?
Right.
Okay. All right. I might give you that. All right. The suddenly red-hot Kansas City Chiefs on a roll to try to take back the AFC West, suddenly thinking they can make up some ground on the Broncos here, taking on the dreck that is the 2-7 Chargers. Jared, since you are the AFC West expert of the group among us, you just saw the Chiefs last week. It was an impressive game by them.
It was not an impressive game.
Though that Peyton stunk. I mean, they did some things.
They
did some things.
Hardly do anything.
They
let me
I
tell
didn't say
you,
they did
you,
a lot.
You, you said they're the red hot Chiefs, but I will tell you why they're not. So Alex Smith,
they were red.
Alex Smith was 17 of 31 with 204 yards, one touchdown. He had the ball so many times in our territory and literally couldn't do a thing with it.
Yeah, that's Alex Smithy.
And Charkandrick West, or however you want to pronounce his first name.
Like that, because that's how it's said.
Averaging 2.9 yards per carry. This team is no different. We literally handed them that win. That's all we turned the ball over five times. We did everything we could to hand them that win. However, San Diego is worse than them, surprisingly. So I am going with Kansas City because San Diego sucks so hard. That's it.
Well, I knew I had to go with Jared and whatever he picked on this. I actually did have Chiefs down ahead of time because I'm waiting for the Chiefs fans to travel to San Diego and turn that stadium into Arrowhead West. And
it will be.
Because that's what everybody else has done this year in San Diego. So user consensus, only 27% with the Chargers, majority with the Chiefs.
Wow. Wow. Well, I definitely look forward to watching the game in Arrowhead Dos. It's gonna be I think this is a pretty easy game to pick. I'm going Chiefs here. I just wonder,
I wouldn't be surprised though in the division when you watch this though, I wouldn't be surprised if Philip Rivers all of a sudden just lights it up and kind of wins a game at the end.
Yeah, but but the Chiefs have a decent secondary, and I mean they're so banged up at receiver, the Chargers. I just don't know how they generate any offense. You can only throw so many swing passes to Danny Woodhead. I mean, like, there's only so many calls in the playbook that feature that, and it's just bad. I mean, how long till Mike McCoy's fired? Does he make it through the season?
I hope he doesn't get fired, because I don't know if it's him that's the problem because of their lack of talent on the team. They have no talent. You can't tell me a coach is the problem when they have no talent.
That offensive line is bad.
Yeah, and they have one receiver
injured,
Keenan Allen, who is now hurt. Yeah. They're banking on a rookie or running back. They have nothing left. They haven't had anything since the start of the season. I completely disagree that the coach is the problem here.
I don't think he's a good coach.
You can't coach no talent. That's impossible.
He's just a regular guy. Like, he's just a regular coach. Like, I don't know. He's just an 8-8 coach to me. I mean, that's just who he is, I think. So,
he's an 8-8 coach dealing with like a 2-14 team.
Right, which is where they're heading. So it makes sense. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this is the most lopsided of the user consensus for the week, the Seattle Seahawks at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Care to guess how many, what the percentage is going for the San Francisco 49ers?
This is the most lopsided?
This is the most lopsided.
Really?
I'm going 4% for San Francisco.
All right. What do you got, Adam?
3.
Ooh. Both of you guys going low. 6% going with the 49ers.
I was closer.
I'm surprised it's that lopsided.
I am too, actually.
I mean,
I don't know.
The Niners haven't played awfully the last few games. I mean,
yeah, but we just saw this game 3 weeks ago in Santa Clara, and the Seahawks showed that, I mean, yeah, okay, the 49ers have a new quarterback, but this game.
Blaine Gabbert, he's awesome.
Right.
Well, he's better than Kaepernick right now. It's not saying much. It's a low bar. I mean, obviously, I'm taking the Hawks here, but they're only a game apart in the standings. I mean, that's the cold, hard truth. Like, I mean, this isn't.
I'm glad I'm not the one who had to say that.
I mean, it felt dirty in my mouth to
but
say,
it'll be
but
a
like,
two-game lead after this weekend.
Yeah. Or a tie.
Or not.
Or a tie.
No.
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 No, Jared. No.
Jared, if I had an eject button right now.
That would be it right there.
I would use it on you.
All right, Jared, who you got?
Okay, well, I'm obviously going with the Seahawks here. I mean, the thing that I'm kind of disappointed in is your guys' pass rush. You know, you guys have kind of been non-existent. I mean, Carson Palmer threw for 363 yards.
Pass rush has been good. That hasn't been the problem.
You guys have only had 23 sacks this year. From a great pass rush, you guys should have more. And Carson Palmer looked like he had plenty of time. I mean, he had a lot of time to throw for those 363
yards. He had more pressures in him in that game than almost any other game this season, actually. Yeah. It just they weren't able to get home and get the sack, which I think teams are coming in prepared to get the ball away quickly when they play the Seahawks, which leads to a lot of pressures and not a lot of sacks.
Right. I mean, and I would agree with that, except for the fact that I saw Carson Palmer hit a lot of deep balls and then one go right through a dude's hands. That would have been good from 60 yards. So there's obviously no pass rush being generated if a quarterback is allowed to drop back 9 steps and throw a ball 60 yards in the air.
Well, on one play.
He also threw for 3 touchdowns. And so I'm a little bit concerned about your pass rush, not so concerned about the guy that I have. And this is the one thing that I wanted to talk about, because the media has been, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the media has been picking it on one guy in specific, and I get why they're doing it, but I think it's completely ridiculous, and that's Richard Sherman. I've seen a lot of articles, what's wrong with Richard Sherman, blah, 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 blah. I don't buy it, and this is what I want to know from you guys, because what I saw, and I'm going to give just one play as an example of why I think this is completely stupid. So that touchdown that was thrown on him in man-to-man coverage in the back of the end zone, mm-hmm. he was obviously going for the interception on a different route, which you see Sherman doing this a lot right now, is making up for a lot of other people's kind of lackadaisical play, and he's trying to cover more than his own guy. And so a lot of people are saying, well, what's wrong with Richard Sherman? Well, nothing. I think he's trying to do more than he normally is asked to. Another of the concern is that Marshawn Lynch is only averaging 3.8 yards per carry.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Well, I mean, you've seen the offensive line.
Well, yeah. But
he's averaging, by the time he gets contacted first, like when he gets first contact now, it's a yard sooner than it was the year before.
So is this not going to get better as the year goes on?
Not with this line.
So
I mean,
what about your interceptions? Only 4 on the season.
That's my point. When you
that's
talk
29th
about,
in the NFL.
I think when people talk about Sherman and not playing well, he's not playing as well. He's not. Pro Football Focus has him rated as the 38th best corner in the league right now.
But I don't think he's not playing as well. I think he's trying to do more to compensate for the other guys who aren't playing as well.
Do your job, and that's the problem. Like, I mean, that's not playing well when you're not doing your assignment, because you're trying to make up for something else. And half the time, it doesn't even need to be made up for. Yeah. Like, these guys aren't communicating well. I just don't think their heads are quite in it. Like, that's what I talked about on the last pod. I read our struggles on defense completely the opposite of you. Our pass rush was the one thing that got us back into that game. The secondary hadn't done squat. Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Kerry Williams all had 5 receptions on them in the game, each one of them. So it's every single one of them. They're not playing well on a string. And I think maybe the biggest part of it, and I touched on this earlier, Chris Richard was our defensive backs coach before he was promoted to defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I really think he doesn't have the same amount of time to focus on that group and get them locked in like he did before. And the defense is struggling because of it. That's my guess.
Carson Palmer's quarterback rating throwing against Earl Thomas was the exact same as his quarterback rating throwing against Brandon Mebane. Why they had Brandon Mebane, defensive lineman, dropping into coverage on a play is beyond me, but it was the same, and it can't be that way.
No, it can't. So,
when I think 2 of your secondary are just as good as they've always been. I think Earl Thomas is as good as he's always been. I think Richard Sherman is as good as he's always been. It's just the problem is, are these two guys really having to make up for the lack of play on Cam Chancellor and Williams on the other side?
You know, I don't think Cam has played super poorly. I think you look at the first couple games that he came back. Yeah, he had his struggles, but
well, the touchdown to Gresham was wide open.
Yeah, that's because of the cover 3. That's not Cam Chancellor. That's a scheme error. Like,
they can't figure that out for whatever reason.
Yeah, they can't figure it out. I mean, I tried to do some study on cover 3 this last week, and I mean, that particular route is a weakness of the cover 3. So I really don't point to Cam so much. I just think it really feels like a communication problem. I mean,
Look at when we lost the Panthers, communication problem. Yeah. I mean, like, it just, you go down the list, how many times have we heard communication problem at the end of a game being the culprit for guys running wide open? I don't think that it's a loss of ability. I think it's a lack of coaching and a lack of communication when it's all said and done.
When you're looking at the Seahawks play, you're like, if this team could make the playoffs, they could still make a run.
Yeah.
But the problem is, are they going to get there?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the problem is, because you guys got all the talent in the world, but don't have the ability to get there.
Well, that's
so
the frustrating part. It's because this team can't finish. They've had the lead in every single one of their games in the fourth quarter, and they've only been able to close it out in four of those nine. And that's the frustrating part. Now, going back to Marshawn, that you were asking about him, Jared, and the interesting fact that I saw about him in this last game is that his yards per carry average was lower than his yards after contact average, meaning that he was getting contacted in the backfield and having more yards after contact than his actual yards.
Go ahead. And the other thing too, you know, Jared, you're talking about the Broncos in the last game and how, you know, Peyton went out there and was throwing ducks all over, and you couldn't sustain a drive, and the defense was gassed early, and it, you know, a defense just in this season that has looked unbelievably dominant, and then the last two games haven't looked great because the offense can't stay on the field to give them a breather. Well, when you start out a game with four of your first five drives getting penalized and being at first and 20, second and 20, and going three and out, like a drive after drive after drive, I think that takes its toll on this defense too. And, you know, like you had mentioned a couple pods ago about the idea of them going deep a number of years in a row.
Well, that was my next question, actually. So, you know, maybe Cam holding out kind of has something to do with the communication problems in the secondary, sure. But, you know, now it's kind of like you guys have gone so deep into the playoffs year after year now. Is this where we're starting to see its toll? And maybe it's not coaching. Maybe it's not the talent level. Maybe you guys are just worn out.
It could be. They could be worn out mentally.
Because that's the only thing, like, as this non-Seahawks fan can figure out. It's just like, maybe you guys have had such long seasons that with the amount of talent that you have on the team, maybe you guys are just worn out at this point and just need a break. You know?
Speaking of which, I'm so worn out on this team that we need to talk about the beer.
Okay. Those are my questions. And you know, thank you guys for
it's good.
For
they're good questions.
There are a lot of us non-Seahawks fans who just don't understand what the hell is going on.
Dude, that's all we've been doing on the last couple pods is kicking these exact questions around.
That's why Brandon's just kicked back, laid back, hanging out by a dresser.
Minding his business.
That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. All right, Jared, tell us a little bit about the Sierra Nevada
Nooner.
Oh, I got to
do this, huh?
I did it last week, and everybody made fun of me because there was these giant German words in the middle of the thing.
All right.
Rufenstock.
We got the Nooner Pilsner from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company in Chico, California, and Mills River, North Carolina, apparently.
Oh.
So apparently they see the shining sea.
Yeah.
So this beer, a German style, Pilsners are the original session beers.
Are they?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Those are all normal words that you just struggled with.
I know. I'm trying here, okay? Nooner is our version of this classic style, loaded with floral and spicy hop flavor and balanced by a crisp and dry finish.
Yeah, well, and they got a little bit more here for us. It says Nooner Pilsner packs big flavor into an easy drinking beer that fits that's fit for friends and afternoon adventure. Nooner is our take on the classic German Pilsner, filled with bright and zesty whole cone hop flavor with a crisp, dry finish. The perfect pick for whatever the day may take you.
Wherever.
Whatever.
So what's the thought process here, guys? Is Adam, was this like a thing where we drink the 49ers beer, we take away their hope for the season by crushing them this week? Is that all in one encompassing thing this week?
Yes, 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 and yes. I want to steal the 49ers fan base soul this week, and I'm doing it too by drinking their beer.
There you go.
And really, this beer is made out of some of their water, which they have very little of. So I'm stealing their last precious resource.
Have you guys spent any time in Chico, California?
No.
I guarantee they don't give a crap about the NFL. So you could try to steal their thunder by drinking their beer, but I guarantee nobody even knows they're playing this weekend.
Yeah, well, dude. Funny thing is neither does the San Francisco fan base.
So, they don't care.
Because
they've lost all their fans.
Yeah, but, you know,
good beer.
I do enjoy this. This is a good beer.
who was it? Was it Ross that we were talking to? One of the listeners who, you know, is kind of in that area of the country and he hates talking about Sierra Nevada just because he's tired of just that whole area.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so sorry, Ross. Okay, moving on. Last three games are doozies.
Yes.
These are good games.
Ah, yes, the doozy games.
Yes. Second place in the NFC North, Green Bay Packers on the road to take on Teddy! And the first place, Minnesota Vikings. See, Brandon, when it's my first place guy, I get it right out of the gate.
Of course you do.
I got Teddy. I got Teddy in this game. I think this is when the Vikings take a step and put their stamp on this division.
Hey, you guys talked me into taking the Vikings last week over the Raiders. I made the flip, and they won. So now I'm on the Minnesota train. I'm going with the Vikings over the Packers because the Packers, they don't have a running game all of a sudden. And to beat this defense, you can't be one-dimensional. And I'm a little bit surprised that this is a coin flip game among user consensus. 49% with the home team Vikings, 51% with the road team Packers. Going with Minnesota.
You know, divisional games are always tough, as we've said.
Mm-hmm.
But Minnesota's got a complete head of steam right now. And Adrian Peterson looks like he's 25 years old. There's no way the Packers can compete with this kind of a steamroller team right now. I'm going Minnesota all the way, man. I mean, I don't see how they lose this game, to be honest, especially at home.
So this is a true fact, so you can look it up. Herbert Hoover was the president of the United States last time Aaron Rodgers beat a good team on the road. And he's not. He won't do it this time either. So,
nope.
Yeah, I'm going Vikings all the way.
How about this Vikings team, though, man? It's kind of fun to watch this progression of a team because they really had no hope. Then Bridgewater came in. We still didn't know. Then all of a sudden this year he's cool, calm, collected, and he went and beat Carr. And it's just a good situation going on over there.
Well, Jared, to put it in Denny Green terms, they are who I thought they were. Like, and I wasn't one of the clairvoyant people in the world that thought this, but because a lot of people had the Vikings as their kind of sleeper team of the year coming into the season. And I just think they're fulfilling their potential.
And everybody questioned that after they went on the road and lost to San Francisco to start off the season. But they've turned it around since then, 7-1 since that opening game.
Yeah. And their loss was to the Broncos at home, where our defense actually did destroy them. But Teddy Bridgewater looked good. Adrian Peterson
hung in that game.
They did hang in that game.
One good run.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think Minnesota's pretty legit.
Yeah, they hung in that game.
They'll probably be playing Carolina in the NFC Championship game.
All right. So, Red BB, pew pew, and the Cincinnati Bengals coming off their first loss of the season on the road against the Arizona Cardinals, who just beat their rival. They took down the bully finally, Jared. These are two good teams now. Kind of one of the 2 to 3 teams of the class of the AFC and one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the NFC.
You know, just like you said, they took down the bully. If you want to be the bully, you got to beat the bully. We've all heard that a million times over these last couple weeks, but they finally did it. This was a hump they were looking to get over. And so I think they're going to carry this momentum and beat Cincinnati because I think Cincinnati's probably wondering where they're at. You know, they were undefeated. They lost the game to a pretty lowly Brandon team. And so I don't think that they're going to beat Arizona at home. I think Arizona's going to be flying pretty high after that win.
Hey, the Bengals lost to a first-place team.
Yeah, a first-place team.
By default.
Exactly. Thanks for getting that right, Adam.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Just here doing my job.
Here's the thing, Jared. The Cardinals still haven't beaten a team with a winning record. And and as much as it
repeat that.
Oh, just, that hurts so
as
on,
much as
man.
It hurts me to say that.
It hurts so bad on the inside.
It's true. And
neither of you guys, so.
And now they're playing the Bengals 8-1 and because I do want the Cardinals to lose oh so badly for the next 7 games. I'm picking the Bengals. Only 32%. That's a healthy third of the user consensus going with them on the road. Now it is a primetime game and people dogging Andy Dalton for losing in primetime to the first placed Houston Texans. I think they go into Arizona and they turn it around and, you know, Tyler Eifert, not going to have 2 bad games in a row. I say he lights up the Arizona Cardinals. And just like we kind of hoped that Jimmy Graham would, going Bengals.
So Star Wars General Admiral Akbar just called and he says, "It's a trap." This is a trap game. This is a classic trap game. I mean, Arizona Cardinals were so high off of this last win. I mean, it was such a big deal, and to have that much focus to go into that game. Look, there's no way that they're going to have the mental focus to take on a very balanced, a very good Bengals team. How fast the public turned on Andy Dalton when he had one loss on the season.
Yeah.
Good Lord, people. I think this Bengals team really is a very balanced team. I like the Bengals on the road here. I think they come away with the win. And, yeah, screw you, Arizona.
Well, you talk about Arizona's focus. I mean, I think you underestimate NFL players and their focus. I don't think they're going to have a hangover. They wanted to be the bully. They achieved that.
Yeah.
And now they're going to continue with that.
Classic letdown game, man.
I completely disagree. I think that they have the players, especially the Honey Badger, to compete with the tight ends of Cincinnati, man. I mean, I don't think that's a mismatch whatsoever. I think Arizona actually matches up incredibly well with the Cincinnati team.
I just think that Cincinnati isn't going to do the favor of getting a penalty on every single one of their first half drives to kill every single one of them and beat themselves in the first half.
Well, I don't take think it off matter. The table.
On to Monday Night Football, where all my rowdy friends will be. The 5-4 Buffalo Bills, Tyrod Taylor and company, they're starting to turn it around a little bit, taking on the Patriots in New England. Brandon, the gang has struggled a little bit against the Giants. Go figure. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Are they made of kryptonite? Like,
I think so.
The Giants, like, are they from Krypton? Is that how that works? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Rex Ryan can't beat the Patriots, so. I don't think I can pick the Bills over the Patriots, especially when it's in New England. 88% user consensus. The Genghis, you don't see him having too many bad games in a row, right? I think they win their division games at home and they beat the Bills.
I struggled with this one hard. I really did. I mean, New England without Julian Edelman, who has now really become Genghis Tom's safety blanket. I mean, you have Rob Gronkowski, who's always going to be open, of course. Mm-hmm. But Julian Edelman really was Wes Welker 2.0. He was coming across the middle. He was always his safety blanket. And now he doesn't have that. And so
they'll pick up some undrafted guy off the street, and he'll be the Tom's new number one and get 150 yards this week.
There is no replacing Julian Edelman at this point.
Whoever it is.
One of the best route runners in the NFL.
There was no replacing Troy Brown. There was no replacing Deion Branch. There was no replacing Wes Welker. And now there's no replacing Julian Edelman.
Until you get better players. Like, the progression of players that you just listed. Let me finish. The progression of players you just listed, every single guy has been more talented on a physical level. And Julian Edelman is actually quicker and faster than Wes Welker was. Yes, it is hard to replace him.
Or
Troy Brown's a defensive back.
Or has, no, he was a wide receiver who could also play defensive back, but or has Tom Brady just gotten better over that course of time, making all
sure,
those guys better?
But what I'm saying is what makes this pick hard is that you can't replace him in a week. They didn't replace any of those guys that you said in one single week. That never happened. So that's what makes this pick really hard. And the fact that they struggled against the Giants that bad, which of course they always do, but Julian Edelman is a lot different than just your standard run-of-the-mill receiver. We've all seen how good he can be. He's got great hands. He's tough. He's an incredible route runner, and he's got serious speed. So you can't just pick a guy off the street and replace him. I mean, we've seen he is a lot better than any of those other dudes that they've just replaced in. I understand that Tom Brady can plug anybody in, but that's not going to happen. So I think New England wins this game at home, but it's going to be close because Rex Ryan can't beat Bill Belichick. That's just the way of it. But if the Bills had maybe a different coach, I might pick this as my upset game. But I think New England is going to struggle without Julian Edelman.
Maybe if you pound on the table a few more times, Jared, maybe that'll help the Bills actually get a few more points.
Well, I'm just curious.
I don't want the Bills to have more points because I'm picking New England, Brandon.
I'm just curious, Jared, as the driver of the Julian Edelman bus, what's the toll to get on? Like, how much do you have to pay to get on the Julian Edelman
bus? Whatever you pay more than Randall Cobb.
Like, just driving the bus. Look, the Patriots are way more than one guy. Like,
of course, I never said they weren't.
Well, maybe they're not. They're one guy, but it's always Tom Brady. Fine. Like, I mean, Julian Edelman's good, sure. I mean, but Tom Brady's better. And, I mean, Amendola will be the guy next. Or it doesn't even matter. I mean, it just doesn't even matter.
Did you call him Amendola?
Yeah, Amendola.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, not Amendola. He's Amendola.
You stole that from me.
I was using it as part of the pod to perpetuate your deal. Yeah, I mean, Brandon, you summed it up just quick, fast, in a hurry. Rex Ryan can't be Bill Belichick. So, nope. Bill Belichick, that's two B's. Rex Ryan, that's two R's.
You guys are both going to New England?
Yeah.
I'm going Buffalo.
Yep, there it is. The extra pound on the table.
just right, Brandon, one more to put him over the edge.
Oh,
man. One more.
Oh, man, I can't wait to
be... I'm going Buffalo.
I can't wait to be tied with you at the
end of this week. This far ahead, you can take risks like this.
I thought that once, too. It all fell apart. I'm just saying it can happen.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to change my pick to Buffalo.
All right. Because
they can run the ball and stuff.
Well, guys, and stuff. Well, guys, that was an entertaining little show there. The NFL is a sick, sad, cruel world. And I would just like to see a week of normalcy. That'd be cool.
I mean, it's not going to happen this week because there's too many average teams playing each other this week. It's going to be another wacky week.
When does that stop? It never stops.
Yeah, because every team, the NFL is getting what it wants right now, and you are seeing parity throughout the league, with the exception of the Patriots. Man, can they just figure out a way to schedule or find the group of referees that give the Patriots the worst calls, or the Patriots just figured out a way to get all around that somehow?
They get around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting in a couple weeks. I'm hoping to God that Peyton Manning's not playing against New England.
I'd rather.
Because we will get our asses kicked.
Well, that always happens when Manning plays New England.
I know, right? That's why I'm hoping for something different.
Well, I heard Jason Cole from Bleacher Report say that he heard from internal sources, and, you know, he stammered through the whole thing because he's awful on camera, but that he basically said that they want Brock Osweiler to play against the Patriots to see what he can do against a quality team, so they know what they have, because this is Brock's contract year.
This is the year. And the one thing about Peyton Manning's injuries, he's got a partial tear in his plantar fascia. That does not go away, especially when you're 39 years old. So if we do choose to play him, I don't think it's going to be in the next couple weeks. Not sure. I don't believe it's going to be against Tom Brady.
Does he have that injury, or were they just covering for Peyton after the fact? Because
I think Peyton Manning has 50 injuries because he's 30.
And they just picked one?
They just picked five.
Yeah.
And they listed him on the injury report, and that's it.
So it's Fasciagate?
Maybe.
All right. Any headlines or anything you guys wanted to talk about?
Yeah, there's one sad thing that really sucks, and I know we're kind of all a fan of this guy, but Doug Flutie's parents both passed away in the same day.
Wow. Within an hour of one another of a heart attack.
That's a bummer. Wow. Man. And Doug Flutie himself said, you know, if you could die of a broken heart, that's what happened to his mom. So I feel for that. That sucks, man. I mean, that's a bad situation. So not to end this show on a bad note, but that's a bummer. We all like Flutie. Everybody likes Flutie.
It bums you out, but at the same time, if you're with the love of your life, And to go out at almost the same time, that kind of almost seems romantic in a way.
Yeah, you're kind of right there. Yeah, I agree with that.
There is some beauty in that. So
they didn't want to be apart, I guess.
No.
Kudos to them.
Huh, they must be that 1% of marriages.
Well, they were married for 56 years, too.
That's wild.
You know, really, our hearts go out to the Flutie family. We all love Doug Flutie, no doubt about it. Brandon, do you have anything you wanted to kind of touch on or anything?
I thought it was interesting the comments about Trent Dilfer saying that the play of the league this year is some of the worst play that he's seen, or it was something to that effect in terms of the type of play he was seeing on the field.
Yeah, and it sounded like that he had a few coaches and things like that were kind of backing him up on that. And it wasn't that the talent so much was down in the league, in his opinion. It was that the coaching and everything, with the way camps are and all that, that it's just kind of sloppy football, and he's just not impressed, apparently. So, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if it's worse or it's just that the teams are so even that they make each other look bad in stretches. You know,
you know, I'm kind of with you there, and as much I'd like to disagree with Dilfer here, but he's got such a pedigree when it comes to the NFL and knowing the game itself that if I disagree with him, I'm wrong.
I mean, the league does feel different than it did even 5 years ago. I know that much. And part of the reason that he thought that the league was struggling too was the idea that all the teams had devalued running backs for so many years and had put so little draft capital into that. And he said, you know, basically look at the running games and the way that they've, you know, have the teams that run the ball well are the ones that have been successful. It's still a big part of the game.
Well, it's hard for me to argue when I just watched a game where about 85 penalties were called and the game was 4.5 hours long because the officials had to stop and check the replay every other play to make sure they got the call right. I mean, it's not just the players. It's the officiating is some of the worst that we've seen in a lot of these games. And they've got to do something to simplify this rule book to make it easier for these guys. Something has to be done.
Well, I agree. I think they need to simplify the rule book, especially the catch rule. But also, when you got these players that are moving so fast that you can't keep up with the speed of the game from the naked eye, I mean, that kind of makes it pretty impossible to call everything correctly. So you can, I don't know if you can completely put that on the refs, but some of the rules definitely need to be cut and dry, like the catch rule. I mean, come on. It's time. So, catch 2 steps or just 2 feet.
Yeah.
Done.
So
leave it at that.
I've got this article pulled up, and it was an interview that was done with Dean Blandino, and they were talking about the catch rule from this past week. And he had some interesting comments. And so basically, one of the things that I thought that was super interesting was, first, the Daniel Fells catch and then fumble or not catch, whatever you wanted to call it, from the
whatever,
from the Seahawks game. This is what he had to say about that. He said that was extremely close, and it's a good question because he definitely had that ball longer than Beckham did, and he was referring to Odell Beckham Jr.'s earlier in the day. The ruling on the field was incomplete, and we just didn't feel there was enough evidence to overturn it, that he clearly established himself. The ball was coming out just as he was taking his 3rd step, and we never felt that he had clearly established himself as a runner. He did have it longer than Beckham, but the rule on the field was incomplete, so he stayed with it. And he talked about some of that earlier, too, in the article, and he talks about this 3rd step a lot. So let's just make it 3 steps, if that's what they're looking at.
Yeah, either way.
And the one quote out of this that I found extremely interesting is, he said, so this was Heath Evans. He says, Dino, it's Heath. Take me back. I think I'm starting to grasp understanding of the different portions of the field and the catches and the steps after or whatever. Week 6, Golden Tate. That's the doozy of this rule. Can you just try to explain to our viewers a little bit why this was ruled a touchdown and not an incomplete pass or an interception for that matter? And Blandino said, that was ruled a touchdown because Tate, in review, we thought that he had 3 feet down. So you look at the play, the 2 plays are different, Beckham and Tate. Tate has clear control, both feet down, and actually takes a 3rd step. I mean, did anybody else see that? The 3rd step comes down, then the ball comes out, and it's this time element where we're trying to be as consistent as possible. And it's, did he become a runner? Beckham did not. Tate, in our view, did. He had it longer, and it's really that 3rd step that we were looking at. And if you watch the 2 plays next to each other, you'll see that there's a difference. But obviously, these are all close plays, and that's why they go to replay.
So do they need the catch rule to coincide with the defenseless receiver issue? Is that why this is such a problem?
No.
Like, you need to become a runner. Otherwise, is it a fumble if you hit a defenseless receiver and all this other garbage? Because if you're on the sideline, you get 2 feet down, that's a catch. You don't establish yourself as a runner when you're going to the sideline. You go out of bounds. So Is that the problem? Is they're having to try to match this up with the defenseless receiver penalty? Is that where they're having the most struggle? Because that's kind of what it seems like to me. And if that's the case, we're going to battle this for years.
Yeah, it's hard for me to figure out why they can't just go with the easy definable rule of a catch. And getting 2 feet down, make it so it doesn't depend on where you are on the field as to what constitutes a catch, because there's different rules for the sidelines. There's different rules for the middle of the field. There's different rules for the end zone. Make it all consistent.
Yeah. Cause I'm wondering, like, if you catch the ball in the middle of the field and you get 2 feet down and then you get hit, like if your feet just barely touch the ground, they're seeing this on replay and you get drilled and it's considered and you fumble the ball and the defense recovers and say runs it back for a touchdown, but there's a penalty for a defenseless receiver. Well, then what happens? You know, then does the offense just retain possession?
Yeah, they retain possession and they get 1st down off of it.
Huh. Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is all just very confusing.
But, I mean,
but at least that gives the receiver the opportunity to catch the ball and to have somewhat of control, because they aren't supposed to get hit right away, right?
Right.
Well, riddle me this. When did Golden Tate become a runner on that touchdown? I mean, he caught the ball and basically squatted down and then got hit. When did he look like he had become a runner? And why would you
or
need
make
to...
a football move?
Well, now football move is gone. Now okay, it's establish yourself as a runner, and they define that as being able to avoid contact.
But you can't do that on the sidelines. When
well,
you're
Adam, you said Blandino's
down.
Quote was that he got 3 feet down, so you just have to grow another appendage. And...
Right, exactly. I mean, duh. I mean, I can't believe I didn't
but
think about that.
On the sideline,
that.
You can't establish yourself.
So the rules
runner,
on the sidelines, that's the whole go to the ground thing and make sure that you
have control going to the ground.
So there's a distinction there. Look, if it's in the field, let's just make it three steps. And then I think that would match up with the defenseless receiver rule. If you're starting to plow a guy before he's, you know, taking two steps or whatever it is that you want to make it, then sure. Defenseless
but
receiver.
Three steps on the sideline, that takes away a big element of possession
well,
catches.
Well, that's not the on the sideline, that's different. Like
they shouldn't make any of it different. That's where the gray area exists.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you have different rules for the sideline, the end zone, and the middle of the field. 2 freaking feet, man. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
2 feet in, possession, whatever happens to the ball and everything after that, whatever.
I'm with Jared.
Look, I don't care. Just as long as we do something, like that's just it. Like I don't. I mean, if they're so obsessed with this third foot thing, then let's just make it three. Like
I only have two. Brandon's got two. I mean, we all only got two.
I have a third.
It's not a leg. I know your ex-girlfriend's Adam. It's not even close to a leg.
Hey. Do you know them? What sense of that? All right. I think that probably does it for this show.
I think we've sufficiently gone off the rails. But we waited until, everything. You know, 75 minutes in, so that's a good place to do it.
All right.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, with that, I say hooray football.
Hooray football.
Hooray football.
Hooray beer.
Go Brock. You can't even disagree with that one.
Best of luck to Brock and you know what I like about Brock? Rhymes with Hawks. Go Hawks!
Go Hawks.